Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. We're happy that you're able to join us this morning and we pray that it'll be a blessing to you. Now, as many of you may know, we've been going through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And most recently, we started on the topic of loving our enemies. You know, and that is absolutely such a hard thing imagining doing, but it's exactly what we're supposed to be, and we're supposed to be like Christ. As you think about Christ himself dying for me, even though he knew I would be a sinner, and that I would fight against his will, fight against his plans, fight against his commands. You know, in other words, before he saved me, I was an enemy to him, and yet he still loved me, and he still saved me anyways. You know, it is very critical that we understand and that we follow Christ's example of loving our enemies. So without any further delay, here is Pastor Reynolds as he continues on this message from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.
In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, verse 43 through verse 48, Jesus Christ declares that we need to love our enemies. Not hate them, but Jesus says we need to love our enemies. Listen to these verses. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he did exactly what he said. Jesus Christ loved everyone. Jesus Christ blessed them that cursed him. He did good to them that hated him, and he prayed for them which despitefully used him and persecuted him. This is exactly what Christ wants us as believers to always do. He loved us when we did not love him. It is by the grace of Almighty God that a person is saved. The people that killed Christ, they thought they had a good idea, did they not? They crucified the Son of the Living God. They thought they knew how to take care of themselves, but they did not know really what they were doing. These people, actually, when they hung Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, they really thought they were doing a godly deed. They thought they were doing a godly service, but they were not. Absolutely, they were not. Sometimes we think that we know the best for us, but sometimes we just don't know the best that there is to do for us. Sometimes we must really trust God, even if a situation doesn't look like it's the best thing for us. God can always work out whatever needs to be worked out. God wants us to let go in all of our troubles and all of our problems. He wants us to take care of all those things that we cannot take care of ourselves. Jesus Christ is a great God. He has loved us with an undying love. Jesus Christ watches over us every step that we take. I'm glad that it is that way. I'm glad that Jesus Christ loved us when we were his enemies. Now, you may be thinking, well, I don't have any enemies. Well, oh yes, you do. Everybody has enemies. It doesn't take too long to make an enemy, regardless of how good you might be. If you are too good, people will not like you, and they will say you are being a hypocrite, because nobody is as good as you appear to be. This is exactly what they said about Christ. They said that he could not be the Son of the living God. He just couldn't be. Even though Jesus Christ did all these miracles and wonders and signs in their very sight, they still said that he was not the perfect one, that he was not the Son of God, that he must be doing that by other kinds of means. But Jesus Christ was able to do a miracle, even though men said that he was not doing a miracle. Christ wants us, as listeners to him, to not have animosity in our hearts toward anybody at all. Christ wants individual believers to be able to witness even to those that hate us and despise us. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 39 through verse 41? In these verses he said this, "But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." Jesus Christ is really saying here, use these things that happen to us as a means of being a witness and a help to those people that are against us. You know, as human beings, we all have sin in us. None of us are exempt from this plague, which is so bad, all of us would actually wind up in a devil's hell, except Jesus Christ has shed his own blood on the cross of Calvary to cover our sins. The lesson Christ is teaching is very plain. We are the ones that have offended Christ. Christ is here using the example of others offending us to teach us that we should be like him and forgive our enemies just as Christ forgives us. Because we are, without the grace of God, without the forgiveness of Christ, we are an enemy of Christ. Christ is the one who died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He didn't die because he was a sinner. He died because we have sinned. Christ is the perfect one. He is the only begotten of the eternal God. He never sinned one time in the smallest manner. He is the only perfect sacrifice for our sins. Absolutely, this is so. He forgives us for our sins, not because we are good people, not because we even deserve to be forgiven. Rather, he forgives us because he loves us even when we are continually sinning against him. How many of us really want to be a Christian, and how many of us claim to be a Christian? A Christian is someone who is Christ-like, right? Do you love your enemies? Do you pray for your enemies as Christ loved them? Listen, if you do not love your enemies, you are not like Christ. Because he loved his enemies even to the point of going to the cross of Calvary and dying for them. Understand that that's so. A lost sinner has no excuse before God at all, because Jesus Christ loved them when they were unlovable, and he died for their sins. He didn't die for his sins. He died for their sins. I mean, that's the way it is. Jesus Christ is the great God, and he can take care of all of our sins. Did Christ live as he wants us to live? Well, of course he did. He is our example of how we ought to live. He willingly blessed those that cursed him. And he wants us to willingly bless those that curses us. He was the perfect one who died for the guilty ones. Now, we are not perfect at all. But we need to imitate Jesus Christ and love those, but we are obligated to be more like him than we are to be like other sinners in this world. We owe the blessings of God to what Christ has done for us. We are the guilty ones that he has died for. We are the sinners, just like everybody else is a sinner. We deserve eternal destruction in the lake of fire for our own personal sins. But Jesus Christ willingly and freely paid for our sins when he, the perfect one from God, died on the cross of Calvary in our place. Do we deserve forgiveness of sins? Well, of course not. But saved people have it. Not because we are good. Rather, we're saved because Christ has been very good to us because he has died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He has literally given to us eternal life. Not because we deserve it. Not because we earned it. Not because we work for it. It's simply because he loves us and he gives us eternal life. Today, if you're lost, how is it possible for you to obtain eternal life? Here's the way it is. You must trust in Jesus Christ and the work that he has done for you on the cross of Calvary. As long as you trust in any work that you do, you will never have everlasting life. Everlasting life is a wonderful gift that God freely gives to all people if they will simply trust the finished work that he has done for them on the cross of Calvary. As long as a person tries to trust in what they have done, they will not have eternal life. But you need to trust only in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Today, we're completely dependent upon Christ to save our eternal souls. And we are completely dependent upon Christ for his grace that he freely gives to us because we have done nothing good we can offer for our sins. We depend upon the grace of Almighty God. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. We depend upon him to look upon us with love, with compassion, and with holiness. He is the omnipotent, supreme God. And we trust in the finished work of the cross of Calvary that he has so willingly done for us. It's not anything that we've done. Rather, it is totally and completely by the grace and by the help, by the hope of Jesus Christ who died for us on the cross of Calvary. And what do we do to deserve it? Nothing at all. That's what grace is. Grace is 100% what God gives to us when he freely and willingly erases all the sins that we have sinned in our life. He erases all of our sins by his own shed blood that he gave for us on the cross of Calvary. The Bible tells us over and over again in the Old Testament about all the blood that was shed for the sins of men. But all the blood that was shed was never enough. It took only one time for Jesus Christ to die. And his shedding of his blood one time has cleansed us and made us whole and right in his sight. But notice, Jesus Christ died for sinners. This is exactly what Christ wants us as believers to do. Maybe not die physically, but Jesus Christ wants us to lay aside everything that hinders us. And one of the things that hinders every person is our enemies. You see, Jesus Christ loved us when we did not love him. It is by the grace of Almighty God that any person is saved. But how many of us really want to be a Christian then? Or how many of us claim to be a Christian? A Christian is someone who is Christ-like, right? Well, do you love your enemies as Christ loved them? If you do not love your enemies, you are not like Christ, because Christ loved his enemies. Verse 44 tells us all the things we must do if we are going to be like Christ. Number one, we must bless them that curse us. The word bless means to praise. It means to pray that God would richly bless and keep them safe. It means to ask God to bless them and to use them for his benefit. Number two, we must do good to them that hate us. Number three, we must pray for those that persecute us and despitefully use us. Did Jesus live as he wants us to live? Well, of course he did. He is our example of how we ought to live. Jesus Christ willingly blessed those that cursed him. And he wants us to willingly bless those that curse us. He is the perfect one who died for the guilty ones. We are obligated to be more like him than we are to be like other sinners, even as we are. We owe all the blessings of God to what Christ has done for us. We are the guilty ones he died for. We are the sinners, just like everybody else is a sinner. We deserve eternal destruction in the lake of fire for our own sins, but Jesus Christ willingly and freely paid for our sins when he, the perfect one from God, died on the cross of Calvary for us. Do we deserve forgiveness of all of our sins? Well, of course not. But we have forgiveness, not because we are good, rather because Jesus Christ has been very good to us by dying for our sins and giving us eternal life. How did we obtain eternal life? By trusting in Christ's finished work on Calvary, not by any other sort of work we ever do. We are totally, completely dependent upon Christ to save our eternal souls, and we are completely dependent upon Christ for his grace that he freely gives to us because we have done nothing good that we can offer God for our sins. Verse number 45 states this, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. What is the first word of verse 45? Maybe I should read that verse to you again. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Now, what is the first word of verse 45? It is the word that. You see, if any person really wants to be the child of God, he must do as God does. But what does God do for those that disobey him? The Bible says that he makes his sun to rise on both the good and the bad. When God sends rain, he sends rain on both the good and the bad. Notice what Christ is saying. Verse 44 states, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Christ gives life and breath to every person, whether that person is for God or against God. You think of somebody in the Bible who was against Christ and showed his utter contempt for him and for what he taught. Think of the people that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. Did Christ do them good? Did Christ give them life? Did Christ give them breath? Did he give them health and strength when they drove the nails into his hands? Did he give them power to persecute him? Well, of course he did. Christ, you see, wants us to be more like him and less like sinful men. Christ wants us to be a good witness of his grace and his mercy that he has bestowed upon us who don't deserve anything at all. When Christ says here in this verse that we should pray for those that despitefully use us, he doesn't mean we should pray that God beat them up so they can't hurt us anymore. Now, I personally find it very, very difficult to pray that God would be very tender and loving with a person who has hurt me. Often, I want to pray that God would hurt those that hurt me. But this is not being Christ-like. It is not being a Christian. Did Christ hurt those that hurt him? No. Jesus Christ simply suffered their wrath and never struck out against them. Christ does not say that our enemies will stop hating us if we love them. If you think Christ is saying your enemies will stop hating you when you love them, you are sadly mistaken. Jesus Christ had enemies when he lived. He was perfect. He never sinned at all. People hated him and crucified him, nailing him to a cross. They drove nails into his hands and into his feet. They hung him on a cross because they hated him so much. But Jesus never spoke out against them. If you're like me, you may be asking, well, now, what do I get out of this deal? What do I get if I love those that hate me? What can Christ possibly give me that is sweeter or better than seeing the dirty rats that hurt me hurt by God himself? Ever thought that? Well, listen, Christ saves sinners, right? Christ saves those that previously hated and despised him, right? Read very carefully the book of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through verse 11, and pay close attention as I read this verse to you. The Bible said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now listen, pay real good attention to verse number 11. The Bible said here, "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Did you catch verse 11, which states, "And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God"? What Christ is teaching is that we ought to love those that hate us because we do not know who God will save next. God might save our worst enemy, the very person we have hated and thought we were doing God's service when we hated him. But what would we think if God would save that person? And then they would call us on the phone, or we would see him in the store, or see him on the street, and they would tell us of their salvation. And they would thank us for being such a good witness to them, when in reality, we were not a witness at all. You see, the grace of God is mightier than we could ever understand. Because Jesus Christ, when we were sinners, when we were against God, he loved us and he died for us. Jesus Christ died over 2,000 years ago But the message that I'm preaching to you, because God in His grace has saved my unworthy soul and called me into the ministry. What a wonderful thing that is, to be used of God in the direction that He wants us to be used. He is a wonderful God. He can save your soul. If you're lost, trust Him today that you might be saved.
You know, thank you, Brother Wayne, for reminding us of this very important message out of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You know, sometimes God's ways don't seem logical to us, and we're kind of tempted to go out and do it on our own, do it our own way. You know, but time and time again, God shows us that He knows what He's doing. And may we remember to always do it God's way, even when He tells us that we're supposed to love our enemies and bless them that curse us. So just as He loved those that were originally His enemies and blessed those that cursed Him, you know, I often wonder how many of those people involved with Christ's actual crucifixion were later saved. You know, they were blinded, and in time, God moved in their hearts and opened their eyes so they could see the wondrous love of Christ. And as Pastor Reynolds mentioned, may we remember what He's done for us and show mercy to our enemies and share the gospel with all that we come in contact with. Well, as our time starts to wind down, I'd like to take a second and remind you of a few opportunities where you can get to know us a little better. First off, don't forget that every Sunday morning we'll be meeting for services at 10 a.m. with Sunday school and 11 a.m. worship, as well as we have a 3:45 prayer meeting in the afternoon, followed by a 4:30 worship service. And of course, in addition to that, we also meet each and every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for a Bible study. And actually, as an example, recently we had been studying about Naomi, Boaz, and Ruth. You know, and that Old Testament story is so rich with the message of God's mercy and grace. And you don't think about it all the time. It's been a real encouragement to go through that book of Ruth. You know, we'd also like to let you know well in advance about some special services that we have coming up. Each spring and fall, we have a 3-day meeting that we refer to as our Bible Institute. And these meetings start on Wednesday night and go through Friday night. And each service has two speakers. And this year we're going to be having Brother Jerry Brewer, who's the pastor of Purity Baptist Church, and Brother Jason Wilson, who's the pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church. Now this year, our fall services will be held on November 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And evening services are going to be starting at 7 p.m. And then the morning services will be at 10 a.m. on Thursday and Friday. Now, the way we do these special services, so I'll just take Thursday as an example. We'll get there about 10 o'clock on Thursday. We'll have one speaker. We'll have a short break, and then we'll have a second speaker. And then we'll actually all stay and have lunch together that morning. Then in the afternoon, we'll all come back together probably about 5:30 or so, 6 o'clock, and we'll have a big meal. And then as soon as the meal's over, we'll have, again, another speaker. We'll follow by a short break and another speaker. And it's an excellent, excellent time about learning about God's Word, worshiping Him, meeting some new brothers and sisters in Christ, and just having good fellowship around our bond, around Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, if you've never been to our church, you can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestell, Missouri. And of course, you can also look us up on our website at www.independencebaptist.org. On that website, there's going to be a way to contact Brother Wayne if you have questions for him. There's going to be information again about when our services times are on Sundays and Wednesdays. You'll also find all of our prior radio broadcasts if you would like to listen to any of those. And in addition to that, you're going to find under the audio section some of the recorded messages from our other special services. So I talked about our Bible Institute coming up. Well, in some of our past Bible Institutes or past revival services, we've put those sermons out there where you can listen to those at any time. So I'd encourage you to check out that website at independencebaptist.org. Well, of course, this morning, we're pretty well totally out of time, but we are thankful you were able to join us this morning, and we pray you'll be able to listen in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.